Crowley tweeted out this weekend that the Steelers might have, this might be the best coaching staff Mike Tomlin has put together. This is from another one of our Steelers insiders. The best coaching staff Tomlin has put together. Put together doing a lot of work in that sentence, because I'm guessing that means Mark doesn't look at the staff he inherited from Cowher as one he put together, because that is the best Tomlin staff. You had Bruce Arians calling offensive plays, and you had Dick LeBeau calling the defensive plays back then. I would submit that in the years 2015, 2016, 2017, when you had Mike Munchak coaching the offensive line and Todd Haley as the offensive coordinator, that was the best coaching staff that Mike Tomlin had put together. But again, maybe Mark thinks that he didn't put it together because Art Rooney hired Todd Haley. And I'm not actually sure who gets credit for hiring Mike Munchak. If that was Tomlin's idea, that was probably the best move he ever made as a head coach, because Munchak was a miracle worker with offensive linemen. He took Al Villanueva, who was a defensive lineman in Philadelphia, and made him into a Pro Bowl left tackle. The problem there is that they could not keep Munchak here because he wanted to go to Denver, be closer to family. I wish he would have his family move back to Pittsburgh so we could rehire Mike Munchak as offensive line coach all over again. And last I checked, he was actually interested in coaching again. Maybe the situation just has to be right. Maybe Deion Sanders should hire him to coach Colorado's offensive line. More from Cabali. TJ Watt, these quotes showing up in The Athletic. Watt saying to Mark this weekend, quote, "For me, it is all about no playoff wins. I am trying to do anything I can do. I don't have forever to play." No, you don't. And you are now 29 years old, TJ Watt, and you are coming off a year where you should have been Defensive Player of the Year, and you got absolutely screwed by the writers who gave it wrongly to Myles Garrett. But you are encroaching, you are getting close to the period of time when your brother started to slow down. And I get it. No two men are created equal, not even twins. J.J. Watt and T.J. Watt are not the same. The same way Eli Manning never missed any games, and Peyton Manning had chronic neck problems. Both pros, both Mannings. One guy never injured, never missed a game in Iron Man. The other had to miss an entire year because of his neck problem. J.J. Watt's last great year was at 29. He only had three full seasons after that. But the counterpoint is, look at James Harrison. He was 30 when he won his first Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think T.J. Watt is really close to slowing down. The one thing that makes me a little bit nervous is J.J., I think, retired when he had meat left on the bone. I just hope T.J. Watt doesn't decide at some point, well, I've made a ton of money. I don't need this anymore. I don't want to put my body through hell. I'm already the Steelers' career leader in sacks. I don't have to play until I'm 34, 35 years old. I'm hoping it doesn't get to that point. It is crazy, and I know Sean Myers producing for Donnie is not the Steelers aficionado like Donnie is. He is a 49ers fan. So this would be a better thing to bounce off of Donnie, but whatever. It is crazy to me, Sean, that combined, Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, combined, the two of them have been on the field for a grand total of one playoff win. That's it.
It is hard to believe.
Just one. Hayward was out there in Cincinnati when Vontaze Burfict tried to decapitate Antonio Brown, and Roethlisberger was playing with one arm, not even, shoulder was completely mangled, and that stupid penalty by Burfict put Boswell in position to win the game. He has not. That's it. The next year, they went to the AFC Championship game, but he was injured. He didn't play. He had a pec injury. And Watt was still at Wisconsin in 2016. Watt gets to the Steelers in 2017. That's when they lose to Blake Bortles and the Jaguars, and they have not won a playoff game since he got here. So that's a weird curse, the curse of T.J. Watt. He's been an incredible player, but for whatever reason, the Steelers cannot win a playoff game with him. Cam Hayward did say on social media this weekend, "The goal is to be a Steeler for the rest of my career. Happy Father's Day, everyone," which goes back to what Cabali said on the morning show today, that when Cam said that his wife has family in Cleveland and he has family there, that was obviously a joke and not something that was meant as a threat, like, hey, if you don't give me a new deal, I will sign with the Browns. Now, I still don't believe, unless Hayward drops his offer significantly, that the Steelers will sign him to an extension, even though we know how much Tomlin, Omar Khan, and Art Rooney all love him. I thought this was interesting. This is Joy Taylor. She is from Pittsburgh. She is on Fox Sports 1. She is the younger sister of Jason Taylor, obviously, but still has a very soft spot for the Steelers. Here she is raising an interesting question, I think, about Russell Wilson.
How short of a leash should Russell Wilson have?
No leash.
Oh, no leash.
No leash. If Kirk Cousins was in this position, would we say that Kirk Cousins has a short leash?
No.
No, because he's been playing
Why do we put Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson in different categories?
He's been playing better than Russell.
Kirk Cousins is 1-4 in the playoffs.
That ain't good.
That's not good. They are the same age. Yeah. I don't want to pick on Kirk right now, but I'm just confused. We talk about Russ like he's ancient and incapable. Like, my man's been to 2 Super Bowls. He's won a Super Bowl. What has Kirk Cousins done in this league that we put Kirk in this other category? Like, no. Like, $100 million, instant faith, no leash, this is your team. What? It's so confusing to me.
I think it's a compelling argument. It's definitely one that is that I like listening to. I do think there's a kernel or morsel of truth in it, in that Kirk Cousins is coming off a major injury. Russell Wilson is not. And even though the cast there, including my friend, I know some people that are up on that show, obviously, even though they gave a little bit of kickback there, I do think overall it's a fair point. I would rather have Russell Wilson on a 1-year, $4 million deal. Not even, what am I talking about? 1-year veteran minimum is less than that. I'd much rather have Russell Wilson making around $1 million than be committed to Kirk Cousins guaranteed $100 million over the next 4 years. You're actually going to pay him more than that, but that's the bare minimum amount he's going to get. If Cousins comes back from this Achilles injury and is the guy he was in Minnesota, you know you get 30 touchdowns with him, but you also know the guy has a penchant for vomiting on himself in big games. They lost a playoff game at home to a Giants team that had no business being in the playoffs, and on 4th and long, he checked the ball down to TJ Hockenson. He turtles and cowers under pressure. So I did like that point. I thought that was an intriguing one. Kirk Cousins does seem to get big benefit of the doubt, and everyone and their uncle is picking the Falcons to win the division. And most outside of Pittsburgh are actually predicting that this is going to be a down year for the Steelers in 2024. That's why their win total, depending on where you get it, is either 7.5 or 8.5 wins this year. All right, you can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. 412-928-9370 is the telephone number. The debrief comes your way at 4:30 with Sean in for Donnie. Paul Skeens takes the mound at 6:40 tonight. A big pitching change for the Pirates set this matchup up for him to pitch against the Reds at home. And we've seen the ticket movement. A lot of people want to watch the guy pitch, and I think a lot of people care about Skeen, so we will touch on that later on, too. First, a Sean headline.
This is Sean Myers with your fan headlines. Yesterday, at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst, North Carolina, Bryson DeChambeau captured victory. He was 6 under, 1 stroke better than Rory McIlroy, who finished a disappointing 5 under par. Fan headlines are powered by Bowser and Genesis of Monroeville. Now open for more. You can check out 93.7thefan.com. Pony.
All right, thank you so much, Sean. Let's talk right now about the Wetco Car Wash. And I was there on Saturday, making my way through the Wetco Car Wash, thinking about Father's Day weekend and how cool it was to be a dad for the first time. And I got a little emotional in that 2 minutes of deep thought that was the Wetco Car Wash for me. That's all it takes. When you go unlimited, you get a little card that goes on your dashboard. You go right to the front of the line as a VIP member at Wetco. At the 45-plus locations, you go right through. And then your car is going to get clean from top to bottom, tire shine, undercarriage wash, wax goes on. 2 minutes later, you've got a completely clean outside of your car. And if you're at a Wetco Pro location, you also have all the vacuums there that you can use for free. The second month is free Buy your first month, get your second month free. When you sign up now, go to getgocafe.com/wetgo and go unlimited today with the Wetgo Car Wash. Today is the 30th anniversary of one of the most, if not the most eventful sports day ever. No exaggeration. June 17th, 1994. There was an ESPN 30 for 30 made about it. There is a Pittsburgh connection to the whole thing. That is the day and night that is, of course, best known for the O.J. Simpson white Ford Bronco chase that was so massive, so huge, that they cut into the NBA Finals, Game 6 of the Rockets and Knicks, to air the coverage of the chase. They didn't know how it was going to end. I think there were some questions of whether or not O.J. Simpson was going to commit suicide or do something stupid. I think at one point there was even a story out there that O.J., having worked at NBC, called NBC and wanted to get on the air from his car phone with Bob Costas, but the producer didn't believe that it was him. Did you know that, Sean?
I watched the documentary. I don't remember that part of it. Was that
Costas said that years later?
That's interesting.
Yeah. That he wanted to go on, but they're like, there's no way this. They thought it was like probably like a Howard Stern bit.
Now, if he had called here, I would have put him through to you. I would not have made that mistake.
Joel Nelson would have put him through in a second.
Oh, he puts anyone.
He put Starkey through with pomp every Saturday as fake callers. I remember I was in third grade. I had just finished third grade, and I was in my grandmother's living room. I was staying at her house that night. We were close. We're still extremely close, and she's now 90, and she's a huge basketball fan, but she's really like a news person. She had NBC loyalty too. She was one of those like Tom Brokaw nightly news fans. And so when they broke in with that, just completely spellbound, even I think at that young age, I recognized and realized that something insane was happening. And then the entire OJ trial after that, my grandmother had court TV on every single day.
She's the gambler?
Yes.
So she wasn't mad because she had money on the Knicks or something and they cut out of that?
She doesn't bet sports. She's only a casino game person.
Gotcha.
I talked to her this morning and she was complaining about how it was going to be in the 90s. And I asked her, what are you going to do? And she said, I'm going to go to a place where it's very well air conditioned and it's kept cool. And I was like, oh, you're going to... I made up one of her friend's names. And she's like, no, I'm driving again 40 minutes to go to the casino as a 90-year-old woman. So that was the apex of that day. Before that, earlier in the day, the U.S. Open was at Oakmont, and that was a Friday, round two. That was Arnold Palmer's last U.S. Open. And so I would have guessed that before OJ happened, the people like who were running the sports sections at the biggest newspapers in America at the time, when newspapers were still a thing and when SportsCenter was still a thing, were debating like, what are we going to make the biggest part of our sports cast? You have the NBA Finals Game 6. You have Palmer at U.S. Open. A legend says goodbye. You have the first World Cup in the United States was happening that day. Wasn't there also like a Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. like homered in the same game or something crazy like that?
No, that did happen, but I think it was maybe just kind of the heating up of the home run chase, because ultimately that year was wiped out due to the strike, but I think there was talk maybe Griffey could break Maris's 61.
I thought having watched that documentary that there was something epic with Griffey happened that day. Maybe he hit three home runs. I don't know. Not that that would in any way measure up to the other things we're talking about, but one of the most surreal days. Younger people don't realize this, obviously. When I say younger, I mean people 30 and younger. O.J. Simpson, in addition to being a Heisman Trophy winning running back and retiring, I think, as the second leading rusher in NFL history behind Jim Brown, when he transitioned into sports casting, he was NBC's sideline reporter for their biggest games, like the Super Bowl, for example. His popularity was massive.
Naked Gun.
Naked Gun, right. He was one of America's favorite sports figures. And then that just incredible fall from grace. And do you remember that, Sean? You're around my age.
Yes.
Do you remember the Ford Bronco night?
Yes, I was having a sleepover. I was staying with one of my friends for his birthday. And yeah, that was kind of crazy. And, you know, we were same age as you, not really understanding the gravity of what that would become, which was the biggest story. I mean, how long until the trial? It was like a year and a half that was the biggest story in America.
Oh, yeah. That went on and on and on and on.
By the way, you were partially right about Griffey. He tied Babe Ruth 30 home runs before June 30th. So it was kind of just a home run.
And he did it on June 17th.
Yeah. He was having an unbelievable year.
Well, Gwynn hit .394 that year.
And that was the Expos year too, right?
Yep. They were far and away the best team in baseball. The strike killed that team. Literally, they moved to Washington 10 years later. 412-928-9370, if you have anything to add to that. Here is Andrew in South Park. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, fellas. How are you?
Hi, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to talk about the Aiyuk trade.
Yes, can you do me a favor first?
Sure.
Can you pull up Dino Tomlin's PFF grade?
No, I can't do that because I'm blue collar. Unfortunately, guys in radio like Chris that make Matchbox 20 money don't want to help out the blue collar guy and give us what we want and what we're demanding. So I was hoping maybe you could lean on him since, you know, you got a little bit of juice at the station, I heard.
We just talked about the juice. O.J. Simpson, do you have any thoughts on him?
Yeah, he didn't get a fair trial. Our Constitution says that you'll be judged by a jury or peers, and there was not one Heisman Trophy winner on that jury. Think about that.
Anything else?
O-H-I-O.
Thank you, Andrew in South Park.
Thought that was Anthony in Oakland for a second with that.
Yeah. Didn't he sell off his Heisman Trophy? I think some random person has OJ's Heisman.
And they could tell everyone they won a Heisman Trophy.
You're at a cocktail party and you stumble upon a Heisman Trophy and it says OJ Simpson on it. What a conversation starter that would be. Here is our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
I like how Johnny the Barber there decided that he was all of a sudden from South Park.
Have you guys met?
And I have met Johnny the Barber. Yes, he's an interesting dude. I met him at Mike's Beer Bar the day that he brought for you tiny plastic Kenny Pickett hands.
That's right. Do you feel you are on his level of crazy?
No, I do not. Mainly because I'm not an Ohio State fan. These guys are all crazy.
Did your wife flash Jack Sawinski this weekend? He did have a couple of big hits this week, Jeff.
No, I feel like I felt like I watched most of the games this weekend by myself. I know she wasn't home yesterday, so no, it did not happen.
Let's hope she was not in a public place doing that. I guess she didn't, because
she was
fine.
At a family gathering yesterday, they didn't have the Pirates game on.
But
so,
had they, everyone would have been treated to a free show. Happened. Anything else, Jeff? What's on your mind?
Well, I was originally going to call in about Brandon Ayuk, but you brought up all this O.J. Simpson.
You're too young for that stuff. You're a young man. You don't remember the chase.
Well, no, I do, because I'm like 2 years older than you. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't remember the chase and the day it happened. However, you mentioned how the trial started a year later, and I was in fifth grade at that point. And fifth grade was also the first year that I ever had a male teacher. It had all been female elementary school teachers.
Okay.
And he was a basketball coach. So and he was really into the trial. So we talked about the trial in class seemingly almost daily. And I knew more about that case as a fifth grader than really any fifth grader should, and that kind of that jogged my
memory. I don't disagree with that at all. I think I knew more about current events in fourth grade than I do now.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, other than sports.
Yeah. Anyways, they should trade for Brandon Ayuk, and whenever Chris brings up the fact that they're going to tick off George Pickens, he's stupid. Like, I don't care what George Pickens thinks. Trade for Brandon Ayuk.
But I don't think it has to be one or the other. I don't think you're making a choice. The Eagles have both of their receivers signed. The 49ers don't want to do it because, or don't want to meet, they'll go to a certain point. It's been reported that they've offered $26 million. But they don't want to give him top of the market because they still have to pay Purdy, and they've paid Bosa, and they brought Hargrave in. Like, they've paid a lot of guys, and eventually they're going to have to pay their quarterback probably $50 million a year. Here is Jim next. Hello, Jim. Jim, you're there?
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey. I didn't want to let the golf discussion get by without mentioning a very, very close friend of mine who should be number four on that list. His name was Jim Masserio, M-A-S-S-E-R-I-O.
Yeah.
And he was the national junior champion in 1965.
Yeah.
He played on the tour from 71 to 79.
Yeah.
He finished second in the TPC to Jack Nicklaus.
Wow.
He played the final round with Nicklaus.
Wow.
He finished second in the L.A. Open. He finished second in the Temple Open. And he won every tournament there is to wear a win in Western Pennsylvania. Amateur, pro, whatever.
Is this Jim that you're talking about you? Are you?
No.
Your name is also Jim.
Jim Masserio.
Okay, I thought you just might be tooting your own horn, which I would be fine with, because those are some very nice accomplishments.
I played golf with him in college, and he was a college All-American.
You also sound like you are echoing badly. Are you in a bathroom right now, Jim? Is that why I'm hearing this sound effect? No.
No, okay. I'm fine.
Okay.
And Jim was one of the only players that didn't grow up playing a country club. He grew up playing at South Park.
Well, congratulations on all his humbleness and success afterwards.
Yeah, very humble guy. You would never know what to talk to him. But he was a great player, and I think he should be number four. I always thought he would be number four behind Palmer and Rocco and Jimmy Simons. Jimmy Simons was from Saxonburg, and he played at Knock High School. And Jimmy Simons was the leader in the U.S. Open in 1973.
Yes.
And Jack Nicklaus was behind him, one stroke behind.
Well, then Johnny Miller won the 73 Open.
No, not 73. I'm talking about 75 at Marion.
Oh, okay.
At Marion.
Well, how about this Sean Parks character who's from, where is he, Bellevue, and he won the U.S. Open in the 1930s? Do we not acknowledge what happened 90 years ago, Jim?
No, I think he was an amateur altogether. I don't even know if he was a golf pro.
Oh.
I think he might have been an amateur.
All right, thank you, Jim. That man knows an alarming amount about golf here. He should be on...
Going low. Paul Alexander better watch out.
Jim Nasario, do I get the name right? All right.
Close enough.
Sean has the Donnie Football debrief, and then let's get into Paul Skeens as we get closer to him taking the rubber at PNC Park. First, a headline.
Sean Myers bringing you Fan Headlines. The Pirates claimed a series victory yesterday, courtesy of their 8-2 win in Colorado against the Rockies. Josh Fleming got the start, went 4 scoreless. 6 different Pirates had multi-hit efforts. Pirates at home against the Cincinnati Reds tonight. Just about 2 hours from now, the first pitch. Paul Skeens will be throwing it. Our coverage on 93.7 The Fan begins at 5:45 and is presented by Pella Windows. Fan headlines are powered by Bowser and Genesis in Monroeville. Now open for more. Check out 93.7thefan.com. Pony.
All right. Thank you so much, Sean. Let's talk right now about Wiggle Whiskey. I just saw some Wiggle out the other day. I posted a picture of it on my Twitter. I don't have an Instagram. Maybe I should start. And it is the best, simply the best, better than all the rest. I think Tina Turner said that once. Aged for 4 years. I'm telling you, this rye whiskey made right here in Pittsburgh is great to put in a cocktail. More and more people I'm talking to like to put rye into old fashioned. So if you're a cocktail lover, you should try that and give a local bourbon a shot. The ingredients right here in Pittsburgh, aged and distilled for 4 years in Pittsburgh. Try it today, Wiggle Whiskey.
Chris Muller here for my friends at The Bath Authority. They want to help you out. They want to help those of you out there who've got a bathtub or shower that's really old, that's outdated, that's just making the rest of the bathroom a complete eyesore, right? Maybe the mold and mildew have taken over, or you've got cracked tiles. You've really got to call my friends at the Bath Authority. If so, they've got the highest quality bathroom remodeling products, plain and simple, and they're going to give you the best customer experience. You're getting modern, durable tubs and showers. They've got an exclusive high-tech polymer liner, and that means that you're going to get something that's easy to clean and that lasts for decades, and the Bath Authority stands behind it with a lifetime warranty. They do it all too, tub to shower conversions, walk-in tubs, and more. Every unit's custom built. You pick the accents, you pick the safety features. The Bath Authority makes it happen, and all Bath Authority products are 100% made in the USA. Call today, 412-249-1140, and get free installation on your new shower or bath, plus 36 months of interest-free financing. TheBathAuthority.com. A better bath awaits.
All right, at 4:30, it's time for a Donnie Football Debrief. It is brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread. Got some interesting calls so far this hour. They came your way on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. This is not the debrief music because Donnie is in Ocean City and we have no idea where the hell he put it. And we have Sean Myers filling in admirably today.
For the last time, probably, after this fumbling.
No, it's fine.
You ready for the debrief, sir?
I am, yes. You can keep the music going.
Okay. So, over the weekend, it was announced that the Atlanta Falcons will be forfeiting a fifth-round pick in the 2025 draft. They're also going to pay $250,000 fine. This, of course, was after an investigation for tampering, and they deemed that it was improper contact with three free agents at the time. Kirk Cousins, everyone knew that, Darnell Mooney, and Charlie Warner. In contrast, the Eagles will not be penalized after it's investigated that there was no improper contact, or at least no evidence of such, with Saquon Barkley, despite some comments from James Franklin in terms of Howie Roseman speaking directly with Barkley as opposed to the agent, which is the...
Wait, Franklin got himself embroiled in that controversy?
Franklin was in the middle of it because he apparently had said something kind of off the cuff that Saquon had heard from Howie Roseman about something and...
And it was before that legal tampering period.
Yes.
I'll leave it to James to step in it.
So, ultimately, a fifth-round pick, I mean, that's not the most punitive, but it is somewhat significant. The money probably really isn't that consequential, $250,000. What is your take on penalizing teams for basically doing what everyone does anyway, but simply for the Falcons being caught
for? Okay, so here's the thing about that. If you're telling me that I got a head start on negotiations with Kirk Cousins, a franchise quarterback for a team that has been without a quarterback since Matt Ryan fell apart, and in order to gauge what he wants and to understand what he wants and to get a leg up on the other teams that are interested in him, all I'm going to lose is a fifth-round pick. I would make that trade 100 times. So if the NFL is really serious about this and they feel like the Atlanta did something that went beyond what other teams do to sign players before free agency officially starts, then they should come up with a more serious punishment. Because to me, nothing about this punishment curbs behavior whatsoever.
There was something involving the Dolphins and Tom Brady not that long ago as well, right?
Yeah, they lost, I think, a second round pick because of that.
Which that is pretty significant.
I think I agree, and they didn't even get Brady. So that was a double whammy. You didn't get the player you tampered with, and you ended up losing a pick that was a second-round pick should end up being a starter on your team someday.
They have this legal tampering period.
Yep.
Should they just change it altogether where you don't have to, you're allowed to contact directly, you know, because obviously there's loopholes to it, like we talked about with Franklin saying Saquon was contacted with Howie Roseman and not his agent, so on and so forth. Should they just make it more cut and dry because we know obviously what's going on here?
I think all tampering should be legal. I think GMs should be allowed to talk to agents year-round. Because to pretend otherwise is ridiculous.
And you talked about this with Ayuk.
Yes.
The Steelers technically would not be able to talk about an extension.
But they could do it in a way where they weren't talking about him, but you could reasonably conclude that that's what they were doing. And that's the kind of silliness that takes place because of the rules that we have here. To me, that's why agents exist. That middleman gives you cover, and instead of, you know, getting a player involved, he's paying someone to handle the business aspect of his career. And I think we've seen the business of football never stops. So if a GM wants to talk to an agent about a player on another team in the middle of the season, I don't know why we should crack down on that. You know, I don't, who is that hurting?
Yeah, that's my point. I don't understand why this needs to be in place anyway.
It's like you mentioned, it's such a hard thing to police because we just all assume that these teams are doing it anyways. So why even have a rule or law that we have to enforce?
I'm with you. And truthfully, I mean, we're kind of seeing this is happening in college football. Obviously, it's a little bit different there.
Right.
But, man, everyone is getting contacted illegally by other coaches, even when they're not in the transfer portal.
How do you think Pitt
Jordan
lost
Addison.
Jordan Addison to USC? Exactly. You think that that conversation started the day the transfer portal window opened up?
Not exactly.
Yeah.
So. I would, yeah, tampering at every level constantly would be my suggestion.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. We are looking at 94 degrees. I love 94 degrees. I would take 94 degrees every day.
Doing what in 94 degrees, though? Would you hoop?
I thrive in these conditions. I love hot. My wife is the exact opposite. She wants to turn the AC on and get like each room to 65 degrees at night. She wants to turn it into a chilly situation. I hate it. I prefer to be hot than
Does she use
cold.
Like a lot of blankets when she sleeps?
No, not really.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't make
She's
a lot
just,
of sense.
She just
then.
Likes cooler temperatures. I'm perfectly fine and comfortable sweating. If that makes sense.
You probably wouldn't be the only person at this station who sweats quite a bit.
Some people hate sweating. I think it's great. I'm all for it. Getting those toxins out of your system and whatnot. I presume you're losing weight when you're sweating? No?
Yeah, no. I mean, if you sweat too much, you might pass out. But yeah.
You rehydrate yourself in a reasonable way. Okay. Coming up next, Paul Skeens. Going to pitch at PNC Park. Got moved back to tonight. 2 hours from now. Let's get into Skeens and how much you're paying attention and caring and if you're on the bandwagon or not. 412-928-9370. First, before we do that, I'm going to tell you guys about FanDuel, the official partner of 93.7 The Fan, the official betting partner of the NBA. And we've got a game 5 tonight between the Mavericks and Heat. Did not really see that coming. And so that's one thing you can bet on. Also, tomorrow on FanDuel, it is a dinger night. It is a Tuesday. That means it's Dinger Tuesday. So that means you sign up on FanDuel, and then you just bet on your favorite player to hit a home run. And FanDuel is going to give you $5 in bonus bets for every homer during that game. So we've got Pirates and Reds. You could bet the Cruises, O'Neill, the Reds Cruz, De La Cruz, and... if they hit home runs, you get the money. If they don't, if Rowdy does or a guy in the Reds lineup, you get $5 for every one of those homers and bonus bets. FanDuel.com/Andrew to get in on all the Dinger Tuesday action. FanDuel.com/Andrew, 21 plus present NPA. Bonus issued is now eligible bonus bets. That expires 7 days after receipt. Max bonus, $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.FanDuel.com. Pirates are tied in the NL Central standings and wildcard standings with tonight's opponent, the Reds. And it's the first time all year the Pirates and Reds are playing. PNC Park, Paul Skeens on the mound, trying to get to 4-0. First pitch, 6:40. Leadoff show at 5:45. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Right now, more Pony and Mueller.
Here's a 1-2, swing and a miss, struck him out on a slider. Two strikes on Ohtani, the crowd hushes. And the pitch from Skeens, swing and a miss! And the pitch from Paul Skeens. Swing and a foul tip, struck him out. 100. Blew it by. Skeens comes home. Swing and a foul tip, struck him out. He let him have it. 100.
Zero in on it.
0-2, strike three call. Frozen with a curveball.
Yeah.
Five strikeouts for Skeens. Here's the set and the pitch. Right there. Strike three call. 99. Catches Lux looking. I felt like that last time. This is splitter. Here's the pitch.
Oh, that was. Yeah, there's 101 right there. He's not tired.
Skeens on an 0-2. Right there. Strike three call. 99 at the knees. He has struck out Freddie Freeman. 8 strikeouts for Paul Skeens.
A little bit of it, I think a little bit of it is just like learning how to pitch at this level and how hitters are reacting to my stuff. So, you know, it's cool to kind of, you know, with each outing, just learn a little bit more about how hitters are looking at my stuff and attacking me. So to be able to have more tools is a good thing.
Minute mark on the fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters. We are less than 2 hours away from another Paul Skeens start in Pittsburgh. And I'd like to talk to you about it. Mulsey is in Myrtle Beach. Donnie is at Ocean City. I am not at the Outer Banks. I am here. I am in Pittsburgh. Sean Myers producing. And hanging out with you until the leadoff show comes your way. If we talk for the next hour or so about Paul Skeens, I would be fine with that. Because I do think every time he pitches, it's an event. And clearly some of the audio we heard there coming back from the last time he pitched in Pittsburgh when he was mowing down Dodgers and he was making Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani look mortal. Now, later in the game, Ohtani did get one back on him, but it was a fair fight against the best hitter in baseball right now, at least when Ohtani also pitches, he is. And he's not that far off from being the best hitter in the game in that Dodgers vaunted lineup. And Skeens took care of business against them and then went to St. Louis and matched zeros with Miles Michaelis while he was pitching no-hitter for the Cardinals. And the last time we saw the guy pitch, he got a standing ovation from the other team for pitching into the seventh inning and keeping the Cardinals hitters at bay. And by the way, the Cardinals have done quite well since that game. They went on to win their next two against the Pirates and then took two out of three from the Cubs this weekend. Skeens in 2 hours. I want to know if you're on the bandwagon. You know, we have this conversation or similar conversations about the Pirates all the time and how there's so much scar tissue and there's so much damage and there's so much pain and suffering that's gone on for fans. No World Series since 79, no playoff series wins since 79, the 20 years of losing that happened. You know, even those, that 3 year period, there was postseason anguish. There was wild card game losses and we haven't had a winning season here since 2017. We've seen teams win from that era, rebuild, and win again. The Orioles are one of those teams that's doing that. While we still wait for the Pirates to get that to get back to that point. And even though he's not an everyday player the same way Bonds was, or the same way McCutchen was, or even going back to the 70s, the same way Parker and Stargell were everyday guys who were fixtures in your lineup and were your leaders and your best players and were doing it day in and day out. Even though he's just a pitcher, I do think already on June 17th, 2024, Paul Skeens is the face of the Pirates. He is the man in this organization. He is their BMOC. He is their alpha male. He is their star. There are things about him already that illustrate and point out that he is in the conversation for best pitcher in baseball. And I just want to know if Paul Skeens has gotten you more interested in the Pirates, and if you are doing things that you would otherwise not do because of Skeens, whether that's go to games, whether that's watch and listen to games, whether that's go out and buy his jersey, whether that's collect his memorabilia like his rookie cards and autograph stuff. Like, I'm trying to really put my finger on just how much buzz there is about Paul Skenes in the Pirates fan base and really Pittsburgh at large. And I don't have Chris to bounce this off of or Donnie, so it's really just me and you. And if you're driving to the game tonight to watch him pitch, or you just want to sound off on what it's been like to watch this guy and the ways we are measuring that and keeping track of that, I would love that at 412-928-9370. Because he is, I think, appointment viewing. I do think he is so overpowering and so impressive and so good that even if you had some vendetta against the Pirates, even if you are angry at them for something, even if you are disappointed and you have been let down by them, I know for me personally, I am not letting any of that get in the way of me watching and caring about Paul Skenes. I would not want to deprive myself of watching this guy pitch because I'm upset at the owner or I'm mad at the GM or I think the manager stinks. If you are a fan of sports and if you get entertained by watching the very best play and show off their skills, then you should be paying attention to Paul Skenes right now. 412-928-9370, as I would like to talk to you about this tonight, as he gets ready to pitch against the Reds, another one of these teams in the division that's literally right where you are, the same record, and is also a team that is made up of very, very, the Pirates' great young players are pitchers. For the Reds, it is their hitters, like Ellie De La Cruz, who already has 36 stolen bases to go along with 12 home runs, and he scored on a pickoff throw to second base last night. So that, in my opinion, is worth the price of admission. I saw standing room tickets going up for like $10. If I were a single guy and did not have an 11-month-old baby at home and had nothing to worry about, I know exactly where I would be tonight. I would be out in the sweltering heat in center field at that bar, enjoying summer beers and watching that matchup, watching Skenes against Ellie De La Cruz. That's about as good as it gets in baseball. Number one would be Ohtani versus Skenes. And I don't think I would get Judge would be another one. Soto in New York, watching him go through the Yankees lineup, watching him face De La Cruz. I will be glued to that when that happens shortly after 6:40 tonight.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.